For the lesson this morning, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 1, the last verse of chapter 1, and talk about some things about angels. We recognize that in the world there are a lot of cultic ideas about angels. Some even worship angels, and the Bible does not tell us to do that. But what Hebrews 1 and verse 14 does, it tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent forth by God to do service on behalf of those that shall inherit the kingdom of God. We don't know what all that means. There was a time when angels were able to be seen and you could recognize what they were doing. I do believe that angels still do their work because we serve the same God today that we've always served. But I want to go back with you to one of the examples in the Old Testament about the angels and see what God has used them for in times past. And to recognize that that can be something that happens with us today. Turn, please, to 2 Kings chapter 16, chapter 6, rather. And I want to read verses 8 through 23. So we'll be able to get the story before us. This is back when kings were fighting and people were oppressing Israel. And God was very involved with his angels on their behalf. Beginning of verse 8, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servant, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which is of us is for the king of Israel? He thought somebody had blabbed. He thought somebody had talked, and therefore Israel had heard about that. One of his servants said in verse 12, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now this tells us something, that God knows everything we think and everything we say. It's true today as much as it was then. God still knows our hearts. God still understands what we stand for. And when we speak against God's people, he understands that. And here was the king of Syria that was planning to give Israel some problems. And at the time that he was planning to do that, God was warning through his prophet about that very thing. And so he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Let that sink into your hearts. Those that are with us, God's people, are more than with them, the enemies of God's people. Now, sometimes in a small congregation, we don't appreciate that. But here we have served the same God that Elisha did. We serve the same God that sent his angels in this place. And notice what they said. Verse 16, verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. He struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And so you have here the fact that God uses his angels, and he knows the secrets of things. So when we look at this today, we have to recognize that there's so much good that God is doing that sometimes we don't know. But I have to have the faith of Elisha to recognize that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And to recognize by faith that God still has all this power. Back in this chapter, it tells us how God used his angels. Well, I don't know how God is using angels today. I'm not qualified to tell you that. I'm not going to speak in speculation. But I can tell you that the same angels that served God then are the angels that are serving us today, according to Hebrews 1, verse 14. And we need to have the courage to recognize this and the faith to see that God is working on our behalf. When you pray for this congregation, and I know that you do, when you pray for this congregation, God is going to help us in ways that we may not know, that we may not understand. But regardless, He's able to do that. So Elisha's power, in verses 8 through 12, he was able to reveal the plans of the Syrian army to the king of Israel because God heard those things. And through the power of God, Elisha knew the things that the king said in secret. Well, he knows that as well as us. In your bedroom, in your dining room, in your walk of life, God knows what's going on. He understands that. And I need to be aware. I think there was a country western song or a song that said, God's all-seeing eye, some time ago. And the fact that God sees. And we need to recognize that's true today. God sees us in the way that we live and the way that we think. We serve God who sees, who hears, and knows all things. In Psalms 33, we have a passage that's very familiar to many of you. But I want to read it again this morning because it means so much to us today in this modern world. In chapter 33, beginning of verse 13, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. And so we recognize that God is aware. He's not a God that's gone off somewhere. He hasn't left us to our own means. We have to understand that. And God has revealed His secrets to us through His Word. I don't have to see an angel today to have faith. I don't have to have an angel do something miraculous for me today to be able to recognize that we serve the same God that Elisha did. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about the apostles and how God made it possible for them to understand His Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the beginning of verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us. Now the us in that verse are the apostles. They have revealed them through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you see, the Spirit still works today, just like it did back in the days of Elisha. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now Paul says this about the apostles. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely to us by God. The apostles knew fully. In John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And He said that the apostles will be led into all the truth. And so we know then today that that's exactly the case. And I can know the truth because in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is talking about how we today can know that. In chapter 3, beginning of verse 3, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, that as I have briefly written already, which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit and His holy apostles and prophets. The thing to realize is that I can know everything God wants me to know. There are not any secrets. Now, I know there's some organizations that claim to have secrets about God that nobody knows until you're initiated into that particular cult. They're not true. I've been invited to join a number of these things and have always turned them down. They don't have anything to offer to me but what the Bible has already offered that to me, and I can understand it. And so Elisha's power at that particular time was to let the people who had lack of faith recognize that God was with them, and He is today. Have you ever been in a situation where you say, what am I going to do? Well, that's the way this servant was. The army of the Syrians had surrounded the town. And he didn't know what was going on. What am I going to do? Yeah, there have been times in my life when I've said that very thing. What in the world am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? But Elisha was calm. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Isn't that something to know? That's still true today. I know that denominations are more numerous, full of members more than what we may be as Christians. You see, they're looking at what we can see in numbers. And Elisha was looking at God's power and God's angels, and he was counting those as part of us. And the servant's eyes were opened, and he could see what was unseen. Now then, we need to have the kind of faith of that servant that we can see what is unseen. Now, we're not going to see angels today like this. Now, one of these days, there's going to be a trumpet blow. And Jesus Christ is coming with his angels in flaming fire. And so I need to be ready for that. And only if I can see what that servant saw and what Elisha saw can I be ready for that. There's a time coming when angels are going to be visible. There's a time coming when we're going to see Jesus face to face. There's a time coming when those won't be secrets anymore. And we have to have the faith to see what is unseen. And which one are we? Do we have faith in the unseen, or do we need reassurance? Like I said, I don't need to see an angel today to believe in God. I don't have to see an angel today to believe that Jesus Christ is on his throne. Because I've read what Paul wrote. And Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, his message has been given to us. And we have that today in plain form that we can read. And Paul said, when you read, do you read the Bible? I'm asking you, do you sit down and read your Bible? When there are times that we don't understand something, it's because we haven't been reading. Do you have questions about the church? Do you have questions about our worship? Do you have questions about moral living? It's all contained in the Bible. And all we have to do is to read that. And there are things that our eyes need to be able to see. God on his throne. Back in chapter 2, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. When we pray to the God of Elisha. When we pray to the God of Abraham. That God has never changed. We have to recognize that God is always with us and able to do all the things that we need. And is reigning as king with all authority. I saw something on Facebook just recently about the day when Jesus would become king. And I put, nope, he's king now. He's king today. He's on his throne in heaven. In Psalms chapter 19, beginning of verse 11, we have some revelation about Christ on the throne. And a lot of this, of course, is something that is symbolic. And yet at the same time, it teaches the truth about him. In verse 11, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. No question about who that is. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God. Folks, Jesus is on the throne. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is personified as the Word that we read that. And Jesus is serving as high priest today. So we need to be able to see that as well. And here's a comparison of the book of Hebrews with regard to the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood. Jesus was made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7, the high priest in the Old Testament had to go in once a year and give an offering for his own sins, and then make an offering for the sins of the people. But that was just sort of, and I heard this the other day, I hadn't heard it in a while, about rolling your sins forward. Rolling your sins forward. Hebrew letter says they were remembered year by year. The blood of animals could not take away their sins. And so they were remembered year by year. In this year, you had the sins, you had the sacrifices, but that didn't take away the sins. And then as you lived your life in the coming year, you added to those sins. And so the sins were just carried on. But in Hebrews 9:15, the Bible says that the blood of Christ, that powerful cleansing blood of Christ, went backward and cleansed those under the old covenant. And so in Christ, they had their sins forgiven as well as we do today. We have to recognize that and be able to see that. And Jesus is holding everything together. The book of Colossians speaks about that. The fact that Jesus is the one that holds the universe together. When you look at the universe, and I think of the Hubble telescope and things that we've seen on television about the space, the planets orbit in their orbits. Why don't they just fly off into space? Because Jesus controls them. The same thing is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 3, because Jesus contains all of those things in such a way that they follow His bidding. They don't fly off in any particular way because of His Word. Verse 3 of Hebrews 1, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. And that's what goes on today. Now, I can't see that, but I believe that. Because I look up and, like David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. When I look up into the sky and see the stars, and when I look at some of the news things and see the universe displayed, it's just awe-inspiring to think about what God has done, and He holds those things together. And again, in Hebrews 1:14 that I've already mentioned, angels are ministering to God's Spirit. I don't know how that happens. There are some things that are not given to us to know today. We have to wait until we get to heaven to learn about those things. But let me tell you, from Hebrews 1:14, I believe exactly that those angels do service on behalf of those that are going to inherit eternal life. And also, we need to understand the spiritual conditions of others as we look at life and recognize what's going on. In Acts chapter 8, Philip was able to recognize, and Peter, that Simon was full of iniquity, and he was not the kind of man that people thought he might be. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 9 and verse 36, Jesus talked about this when he said, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus sees us that way because that's what we are. We need a shepherd, and He is the shepherd of our souls, the Bible tells us. And then in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus Himself in chapter 24 and chapter 25, chapter 24 talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. But in chapter 25, He talks about eternity. And He talks about heaven being eternal and hell being eternal. Now, how do you picture that in your mind? I can go to the book of Revelation and I can read about streets of gold. I can read about the tree of life being in paradise, and that gives me a picture of heaven. The only picture I have of hell is what I see in Luke 16 with regard to the rich man being in torment. He knew who he was, and it was too late for him to change. And so heaven and hell are very real, and we need in our eyes of faith to see that. Do you have a strong vision of going to heaven? That's what leads us on. We studied in James this morning in class about patience. And when we have a lot of troubles and time drags and troubles afflict us, we have to have that patience to see it through and to continue on until the end. And that's what heaven and hell should be able to see. Now, he had compassion. He could have prayed In 2 Kings 19, he could pray that Syrians would be struck dead because God had the power to do that. He could strike them dead. But he didn't allow the king to kill them. He spared their lives. And in that, I see the compassion of Jesus. He's seen me at my worst. And Jesus shed his blood because of my sins, as well as yours. But he had compassion on me in that Jesus was sent from heaven to the cross. You think of how high that is to be deity and then to come down and let his own creation kill him. His own people turned on him and he willingly went to the cross. And so Elisha spared their lives and he fed them and released them on this particular occasion. And the eyes of the Syrians were open to see the mercy and compassion of God. Well, what does that teach us? That mercy and kindness and love have a great influence on the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. Do you think about your families that are not Christians? Does it bother you? Do you think about your neighbors that you see day in and day out, and they're not Christians? Does it bother you? And we need to have that kind of compassion toward people who are not saved, and to recognize that there is room in the kingdom for people that we know that we can teach them. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 44, Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." That could have been written about Elisha. That's what he did, to show them the glory of God. And we need to have that same kind of an attitude to recognize how we can be compassionate upon others around us. Turning to the book of Romans, we have another passage that we'd like to use in chapter 12. And beginning of verse 17, Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head." When I think of the judgment of God and how good he's been, I suppose you've been hearing about Jeffrey, can't think of his last name now, the pedophile. And he had this island, plus a home in New York and a place in Florida, that was dedicated to illicit sex with girls of minor age. He had the world, billionaire. And he had no kind of regret. But he died yesterday. And I wouldn't change my place with him for all the billions in the world. To think that he went to see God unprepared. To think that he had spurned God in his lifetime. And to recognize that he finally was faced and evidently committed suicide because he couldn't stand the idea of going to prison. If there's a lesson there, folks, we need to learn it. And that is, don't put off until tomorrow what you know that you need today, because you may not have tomorrow, because we all have just one breath away from eternity. So when we talk about this and think about this, we're talking about each one of us today. There's an opportunity that we have to obey the gospel